Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Jeremy Frazier. It was presented in September of 2008. The title of the message, Guaranteed Success.
Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, it says this. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I sware to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Very familiar verse or verses, the next two. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What if I could look you straight in the eye and say, "I can guarantee you success in life"? Would you take it? The first thing I want you to see here is this. If you want to be successful, because I really believe this morning I can look at you and I can guarantee you success. And if you want to be successful, the first thing that needs to happen is you must reject the world's view of success. See, the world begins to pump in us consistently this idea of success and what it is. And we hear this all around us. And many times we think that we don't fall prey to it, but actually we do. See, the Bible teaches in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Now listen what it says. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Here's the point. Don't veer from what God says. And when you would veer from it, means that you would accept and you would embrace this world's view of success. And I'll tell you, the world's view of success is a lie. The world lies to us. If you haven't figured that out, then you know, maybe you need to wake up. You know, it's Sunday morning, it's early, but can I tell you this, is that the world lies to us. If you think about the world and what it would say is success, you think about Time magazines and the 10 most successful people, you know what it's going to boil down to? It's going to boil down to money and material possessions. And there are some of you that your greatest passion in life would be that you would be successful. And in your mind, in your eyes, you're thinking, if I just make a certain amount of money, if I have these material possessions. But it's kind of like, hello, wake up. When you die, what do you do with those things? You don't take them with you. So what you see is you would reject this. You know, some people in our world would think that really success is power. Success would be that you have this great influence. It's popularity. It's having people like you. And here it is in the scripture, you have Joshua who is being bombarded by the Lord and saying, if you want to be successful, don't veer from what I tell you. Don't embrace the world's view of success. Reject the world's view of success. You know, I think many people believe in the American dream. Could you imagine? What if the disciples bought into the American dream? What if they bought into this idea of wealth and prosperity and material possessions? And yet you look at the disciples, and after Judas was off the scene and proved himself not to be a true disciple anyway, out of the 11 that were left, 10 of those 11 died martyrs' death. Can I tell you something? In the world's eyes, they were losers, but in God's eyes, and in your eyes, especially as a believer, you would say, man, these guys were successful. So the first thing I would challenge you that you would do to be successful, that you would reject the world's view of success. Number two, though, you would embrace a theocentric view of success. This is simply a God-centered view of success. What does it say? In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Begins to talk about in verse 9 at the very end, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You've got this idea here is, now here is God's view. So number one, I told you that you've got to reject the world's view of success. But number two, embrace God's view. I mean, what does God say? And then grab a hold of it and hold on tight and don't let go. It's like the idea of you've got Jacob who is wrestling with the angel and he's basically holding on tight and saying, don't go until you bless me. I will not let you go. And this great idea of you as a believer saying, okay, God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to believe. I want to embrace your view of success. I want to go after that with all that I have. That's what we should be doing. And then number three, told you to reject the world's view, to embrace God's view. And then number three, that you would pursue God's plan of success. His plan. What is his plan? I mean, I've told you all this, and now I'm going, you want to be successful, follow God, you know, but what is it that God wants you to do? That's like the big question, because you can say, okay, yeah, I want to follow God with my life, but if you don't know what he wants you to do, then you can never do it. So what does he want you to do? Well, let's dig into this passage here. I think the first thing that you would see this, if you want to pursue God's plan, the first thing you see in God's plan would be this, that you would take sin seriously. You say, what are you talking about? Well, look at verse 2. This huge transition. Now, could you imagine all this transition from Moses, this great leader, leading a million plus people and in through the promised land to the edge, or at least to the edge of the promised land, out of the wilderness area. And yet he dies, goes off the scene, really because he was disobedient, because of sin. And now here's the new leader. It's Joshua. The fear that's there and all the excitement and everything that's going to go through there. But here's what it says in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, the next couple verses basically talk about, I'm giving you the land, go to the land, and conquer the enemy. Now, what's odd about this is here's God who is saying this. I want you to genocide all these wicked nations. I didn't say it. God said it. And you think about this, you could say, man, that just sounds awfully harsh, you know? I mean, wait a second here. We see this all throughout history and how God lets nations come up and then how he takes down nations. And yet, at many times, speaking of even when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God destroyed the nation of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because of their sinfulness. And here's this idea of God using the children of Israel to conquer the enemy, and God wanted them to go and wipe out all these wicked people. This shows you God's hatred to sin. See, God hates sin. He does. But you know, even in the midst of all this, what's amazing is you see God's redemptive plan in it all. You see, as they get to Jericho and what happens with Rahab and her family. You see, the people who are willing to turn to the Lord, they would be rescued, but the people of that land were not willing to turn to the Lord. Actually, they were rejecting God. God had given them opportunity after opportunity, and now God said, forget it. I'm going to destroy you. And I'm going to use Israel in the process. So he tells them to go and to conquer the land, to take sin seriously. You say, wait a second, what are you talking about? You know, some of you might be thinking, I have unsaved neighbors. Should I go and grab a knife and kill my unsaved neighbors? No, don't do that, okay? That is absolutely not what I am teaching. That's not what the Bible's teaching. But the idea here is this, that you would take sin so seriously, you would seek to conquer the enemy in your life. It's like this, if you don't kill sin, then can I tell you something? It will kill you. If you are not actively fighting in the battle against sin, you are losing. That's the way it is. And you have got to actively fight against sin. Take it seriously to see the things. What does God say about this? And to take it seriously in your life. You know, sometimes we treat sin as like our pets. And we're like this little, it's like this pet sin that we have. It's what the Bible would say in the book of Ephesians, really called a deceitful lust, because it's this desire that you or I would have and towards something. And you know what's amazing? Is the same desire you have may be totally different from the person beside you. I mean, what you struggle with in sin may be totally different from the person sitting right beside you. And yet the reality is you need to take the sin seriously. Now, God, in his goodness, does not work in generalities. It's not like God comes to you and says, you know what you are? You are just a sinner. And you are guilty. Remember what you did in your past? I know you confessed it, but let me just remind you about it. Wait. That's not God. See, the Holy Spirit of God is a spirit of truth and leads you into truth. And here's what happens if you are truly saved. The Holy Spirit of God will direct your mind, your thoughts towards something that you have done to violate God's law or God's plan for your life. And then you begin to be convicted about it. In other words, he reminds you of something you said towards somebody else. Remember how you treated your wife this morning? Remember how you treated your husband yesterday? Remember what you said to your brother or sister? Remember how you took that? You shouldn't have taken that. Here's the Spirit of God that works very specific, and the point is God wants you to uproot the sin, and if you don't take it seriously, you begin to excuse it. You say, it's not that big a deal. I mean, everyone else does it. I mean, my neighbor beats his wife. I mean, I'm not doing that. And we begin to excuse the sin in our life, but God wants us to take it seriously. Now, I want to show you how serious God is about this. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Numbers, chapter 33. And what I want you to see is this is what God says to the children of Israel. Verse 50. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are compassed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Listen to what it says in verse 52. You're driving out the inhabitants. And then it says, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give, the more inheritance. And to the fewer ye shall give, the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. So here's God saying this. Get rid of the sin. Don't do it partially. Do it completely. It's not a one-time thing. I think of some of you this summer. How many of you were at camp this summer? Raise your hand. You guys went to camp. Some of those are teenagers here. I realize some of the adults are not raising their hands probably. But you went to camp. How many of you, when you were at camp, God dealt with you about something? Okay, some kind of sin or something. Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? You know, what's amazing is this. You say, but I dealt with it at camp. What about now? What about right now? What about in your spiritual life now? I'm not talking about then. You do it completely, but you do it constantly. And look at what it says. If they weren't to obey, in verse 55, it says this. Here's God saying to them, "But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." It's pretty powerful. God's saying, take sin seriously. Don't treat it lightly in your life. Now, let me ask you this question. What is it right now that God is bringing to your mind? A sin that's between you and Him. A sin that's between you and somebody else. What are you going to do about it? Here's God. If you want to be successful in life, if you want to have real success, you've got to uproot the sin in your life. God will not bless you when you delve and you hold on to your sin. So get rid of it. Take sin seriously. But the second thing you see in God's plan would be that you would treasure the word. Go back to the book of Joshua there. We see this in verse 7. He's talking about observing, obeying the law completely. The law, in verse 8, what we see is this book of the law speaking of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. That's what it would have been there in that day and age. Really, when you look at it in its broader context, it speaks of all of Scripture because it's all of God's Word. But when you look at this in verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." You know what? You should treasure the Word. How do you do that? Well, think about it. How does it not depart out of your mouth? How is it constantly on your speech? Well, you've got to know it. This is information. You've got to have it. You've got to know what the Bible says. You've got to know what it means by what it says. But this first idea here is that you would know it. You would think about it. It would be right on your speech. It would be constantly on your lips. Why? Because you're constantly thinking about it. I think about this in anything. I mean, many times I'm in Wisconsin, okay? We spend our summer times there at this camp called Northland Camp and Conference Center in Wisconsin. You say, what's the big deal about Wisconsin? Well, you meet people that are from Wisconsin, and you know what they are? They're called cheeseheads. You say, that's mean to call them that. No, that's what they call themselves, because they're these football fans called Green Bay Packer fans, okay? And these people, you talk to them, and they can tell you everything about the teams. They can tell you everything about the situation. They can tell you why they're all sad because Brett Favre is not there. They can tell you everything, you know? Why? Because it's on their mind. They're constantly thinking about that. There's a sense of information. You know, when you really treasure the Bible, you think about it. You want to know. You're asking yourself the question is, what is God saying? What does God say? But not only that, it goes deeper, because then you see that it says that this, that not only the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. There's this idea of going deeper than just information. It's really dwelling upon the word. It's asking yourself the question, what does God mean by what he says in the word? See, sometimes people read the Bible and get all the information, they walk away. It's like the person who reads the Bible, you know, through, maybe they read it in a year, or they're on a Bible reading plan, and every day they're like, check. They get to the next thing and they finish it and go, check. Next thing, check. And they do a whole year and they went, check, look at all my checks. Cool, you know. And they read through the Bible in a year, but it didn't change them. Why? Because they read it for information only, and they leave unchanged. One of the greatest detriments, one of the greatest problems in reading the Bible is it can make you very proud. Isn't that crazy to think? If you don't apply it in your life. When you begin to apply it, it begins to change you. You begin to dwell upon it. You turn it. Do you ever struggle with the Bible? Do you ever read a passage and say, what in the world does that mean? I don't get it. And then you read it again and again and again and again, and you You start really thinking about it from different angles, and eventually God opens it up in your life and you get it. Isn't that amazing? I hear good preachers of the Bible, you know what they say if you really want to, as they're getting ready to preach the book, let's say they're going to preach the book of Philippians, and it's a small book, 104 verses, four chapters, and they say, okay, what I'll do, they'll read through that book, and they'll say they'll read through it every day for a month, and they'll read through it many times, multiple times during the day, and they're thinking about it, they're reading it over 40 times, why do they do that? So they can understand it. And this idea of dwelling upon it, what does it mean? And then going even deeper than that, because as you meditate on it, why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, the reality is you're asking yourself, what does the Bible say? And then what does God mean by what he says? And then going even deeper with that than saying, okay, now God, how do I obey you? And what do you want me to do? This is what changes you. Really, the idea is a sense of loving God so much, you're treasuring the Word. You know, it makes me think about this. It makes me think of people that are in love. You know what people that are lovers, you know what lovers want to do? They want to spend time with the person they love. And the idea here is when you really do love God, you have this deep desire to know the Word and obey the Word because you want to please the God of the Word. And then the last thing that you see is this. If you want to follow God's plan, you have to take sin seriously, you have to treasure the Word. But the last thing is in the whole idea of this, you've got to trust in the Lord. You say, what are you talking about? Verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Here's the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He's saying to Joshua three times, look at verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. I think about verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Now repeated again in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Why is he saying this three times? Well, it's pretty simple. Joshua isn't strong and he's not courageous. I mean, how would you feel? Moses is gone, and now here you are, the next leader of Israel, millions of people. And so he's fearful, but here's what God's saying. Trust me. Trust me. Believe me. He says, I am with you wherever you go. He's saying, don't be dismayed. Now, you know, right away, Joshua's all excited about this, and so he begins to tell the people. He starts saying, oh, man, this is awesome. Okay, here, guys, listen. God's told us to do this. We're going to go in 3 days. We're going to go across the Jordan, and we're going to conquer the enemy. And he tells them all this. They get excited. The people do. And as you look at this, you see this in the scriptures, because in chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, these people answer Joshua. They hear what Joshua's plan is. They get excited. Now look with me in verse 16. It says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now, right at this point, you know what? I guarantee Joshua's thinking, yes, this is awesome. These people are following me and they're following God. This is great. He's excited. But wait a second. Look at the next verse. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Now, wait a second here. It's like, hello. If you know anything about the children of Israel, can I tell you something? They didn't hearken unto Moses in all things. And they're saying, hey, just like we obeyed Moses, hey, we're going to follow you the same way. And he's thinking, oh, no. What have I gotten myself into? This is awful. This is awful. But you know what's amazing? When God calls you to do something, you need to obey him. When you're facing trials in life and there's all kinds of things that you are facing because you, I really believe this, each one of us here facing some form of a trial on a consistent basis. But the question is this: are you trusting in him? Are you living in constant fear and letting the enemy take control? I think of David and Goliath and all of the people who ran in fear every time they saw Goliath. But there's David who realizes Goliath is attacking the God of Israel. He's not afraid. The scripture says in verse 9, be not afraid. And then it says, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Now, I don't know what you're facing today, but I'll tell you, this is great. You know why? Because here's what God is saying. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. If you are a believer here today, can I tell you something? The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Isn't this amazing? He is ever present. I mean, he's not going to leave you. God is there. And why should you fear? Why should you live in discouragement? Can I tell you, whatever you're facing, trust the Lord. God's going to use it in your life if you trust him. If you trust him. You know, when you see all these things, this idea here is when you do this, when you love the Word. You know what's amazing? Is here is God not telling Joshua. He doesn't tell him this. Now, you're getting ready to conquer all these people. Let me tell you the battle plan first. No. He's saying, no, you walk with me and trust me. If you do this, you will be successful. You're going to have failures. You're going to have other kind of things. But ultimately, you will be successful. That doesn't mean you're going to be this health, wealth, prosperity. You might have cancer and you might die of cancer. But the idea here is this. If you are following God's plan of success, in God's eyes, you will be successful.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Guaranteed Success by Jeremy Frazier. It was presented in September of 2008 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented in conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.